Thank you, Jen. Davideen said a lot more than that. But I couldn't print it on the book. In the tunnel. In Gaza, they're destroying tunnels, where the Palestinians come and go in darkness and smuggle things in too. It's a prison. Hassan dances for his children while bombs crash two blocks away. Naguib whispers fairy tales. Sunlight dueling in the apricot orchards and ripening hate washed from children's eyes. Here, the wind will distract us again from vigil, lighting candles outside labyrinths, and appeal for blankets at Love's restaurant, or the cold drip of news. Banshee, grease-drenched on my roof, pulling out oil-black fistful of her hair. The dream minister croons after cash. This is paradise, my little prince. When I came here in October, and thank you, Paul and Avail and Jennifer, for having us back, having me back, I was imminently to publish a pamphlet and a CD. Well, both are out now, both for sale. And I just thought I'll play a couple of tracks from the CD with your permission and then read. I can't remember what I read in yours, so I want to do something else that definitely I'm going to read that isn't in the pamphlet. But anyway, let me start with the music. Jazz Festival in October if you really want to hear the Matt singer. we were talking last night, Michael McKim and Gabriel and Fitz Morris and I in fact about regionalism, the idea of the region, what the region means in England, you know, because it's very different to Ireland, they have such a strong county identity. So I'm going to read a couple of poems that reflect on that. With the qualifier, of course, the trouble with regionalism is you take it away from the region, maybe all the references will be lost on the region, so hopefully the music and so on will compensate. Can you hear me all right?
Okay.
Coming through? Good. So this is called the Silver Age, and it's about an old school teacher, an 80-year-old school teacher I know in Coventry. He was a friend of a Belfast poet, John Hewitt, who wrote a poem about him also. The epigraph is from Hewitt. Class released, he guided us with care around the drab art room, crowned with crooked screens and littered tables, pointing here and there where joy's surprise surmounted frugal means. That's John Hewitt, who lived in Coventry when he had been shown around the convict's classroom. The poem then goes on to use images from his paintings and from his working practices, and sort of think about what it can mean to know an 80-year-old painting been working in the region all his life. Picture him in the late 60s, the dashing schoolmaster on the bus to work, the demolition crews moving in, the Indian kids in his art room at lunch humming village songs of seed and harvest, stopping at dusk to paint half a building gone during the day, whale bones jutting around the cold ribbon of a canal, a bomb hits moon. 40 years later, pony traps whirling like leaves across the common, and happiness is the sheen on a chestnut flank. A continuum exists from the highest masters in their grand tombs of art to the local, the decorative he teaches. You can find it in wrought iron fossils and rainforest fronds fastening a hillfield's works, in angels with feathery trousers prancing on the Warwickshire moon, in the green man's ivy tongues defacing a grey facade, or mottled glass now held in the access sarcophagus, a very local reference at least. He eats their stories, pays tribute like an oven on a winter night. Poetry is endless revision, trudging through slush to check the facts on a smoky evening, a fresh sheaf of impressions dealt from his sketchbook. Perch in a high window, he has fixed boys at a snowball fight, their darting movements pinioned in watercolours to his card, as the glimpse flash before blinking leaves a spore hanging on the retina, shadows braceleting a snowy amphitheatre of green made livid by street lamps' fluorescence, arms thrown like streamers, constellated, still and in motion. I am privy to his selection, his volumes of life, the airman apprentice, Fitzrovia, Delia, and in love, his best painter. Summer's caravanning, passing for French. Analysts, ox roast, mummers, bloodthirsty football games and Coventry, sequined dresses like candle flames fed of copper of a mill, swift sketching sitar players and dancers, flirting with the jewellery women in Punjabi then, because he's sitting still, wheeling to draw the characteristics over a young girl's shoulder, weaselly, alive in the acts of creation. Stoke, high summer. Pretty china scenes on barges, chateau in pine forests, summoning some old Bohemian clan, bringing Wedgwood and Dalton down the Midlands canals. He knows the story, has charcoaled them 1,000 times in the snug, faces dark concentration, jerking bow or solemn around the whistle. Painted them in proud, bright pain like Cézanne. Work fleeing the person to decay in a different time. One jade afternoon he's greeted by each repairer, engraver, dance caller, punch and duty man, sapphire and tawny of Arcady. I observe him, busy as a hot molly troop lumbering crossed swords or staves signifying mow and thresh, their bearskin costumes. I'm very fast because my set's all messed up now. I can't play the track, so I'm going to adapt. So I'm now going to do something hopefully a little lighter, if fascism can be called a light matter. Very depressing. 2 weeks ago in the British elections to the European Parliament, we returned for the first time to fascist MEPs and British National Party members the head of the British National Party, British National Party, whatever that means. Well, what it means is Little England, you know, get the immigrants out, blame the recession on the refugees, you know, come to, you know, boost the economy. And another one as well, up in the northeast country. A few years ago, when we were going to war with Iraq, I was contesting elections in Coventry to fight the fascist same party. And this poem is sort of the log of those activities, really. It's called The Winter of the Modern Media. It has an epigraph by the Birmingham poet Roy Fisher. But I propose a fresh matter of Britain. And it's in different voices, so it's sort of like, just try and imagine zoning in and out of different radio stations, you know? And this is the last one I'll do, so. We have sent our champions into battle, and our blood up, and our mouths steaming, we fuck off the cold. Meat batches, curry pies. We gird our loins. Our eyes, 10,000 slippery alert footballs flick convincingly from centre to wing. Many mouthed ant brain monster making the rooftops echo and the stands of our opponents tremble with the rip in the air of our roaring. Something's going to get smashed. Head high, the wood's heart's blowing stop at a tree. We locked a squash of heavy crimson malt, carried it away like a brain between thin trunks, and over the papery leaves now ghosts of lichen only sliced, oozing, you fried like meat, O bloody sweet gem. In an astonishing twist to the story of the men of the South, denied work permits and housed in Bristol until such time as they can be deported, a splinter group has commandeered barges and is rowing like the pikey upriver towards Shrewsbury. Dunkirk must have looked very much like this. The men have hooked noses, beards, eye patches, turbans, scimitars, books, or false pockets. If you meet them, do not speak with them, lock your doors and alert the police. Forces close to the Prime Minister hint of an accommodation to be made with the rebels, but regional chiefs in the Midlands refuse to enter negotiations, saying that the Haradrim must first curb the wantonness of their orcs. The sun, a pale fluorescent orange, like Orion through a ball for Sirius, but the dog wouldn't go in the water to fetch it, so it sits glowing on a beach of mud. You feel things more intensely as you grow old and experience kindles inside your dirty shell. Oh, who am I trying to kid? Lights dance away like flames on the fire, empty packets of crisps and its shadows run over the walls and eyes. What I mean to say is I am old, and I remember that we fought a war to keep the British nation pure pure. Now it has been invaded by stealth and political correctness. Dark hordes swamping our city with their gabbling words, frying garlic in ghee, kalali rice and peas, and masala fish on naan, the clean, sweet scent of halal meat, I too must slit my throat and will someday, I never vote. Sir, I write with a pinch of scepticism, a good splash of rationalism, and a stout dose of common sense on the subject of economic migrants. The hysteria of your correspondence notwithstanding, we all know that the history of these islands has been with only a few blips, on peaceful and ethnically stable farming communities, save for in exposed easterly regions, since the 2nd century, when Uther Pendragon beat back the Roman and Trojans, and can remain so. It would seem that, in a region ravaged by low wages, the best solution would be, as always, to close our borders and allow for a good, healthy period of inbreeding. Yet our vacillating and corrupt civic councillors will not grasp the phoenix tale, with the result of which we are all painfully familiar. Rag-taggled bands of foreigners marauding and pillaging at leisure, eating our swans, and generally making a mockery of the honest yeoman who works all his life for a fraction of the money these squanderbirds receive in handouts. I and many of my friends have begun to question the worth of such foolhardiness, and our whispers are getting louder. Tis said that in Hinckley horses are eating themselves. Prince is Muntjac. Full story revealed on page 12. Gawain Fribble, a shoemaker's apprentice from up north, was cruising in the Binney Woods area yesterday when he disturbed a herd of Muntjac led by none other than the godly Prince Ray, the photogenic heir apparent last seen enjoying the grouting of heretics at Sunderland, Norfolk, this last Sabbath, right. It came up to me, Dribble, 36, recalls, putting up my legs, fearsome little booger he was, and I would have let him have it with both barrels, but then I realised his eyes were blue and he was scratching words with his horns onto the dirt. I am the rightful born good king of Albion. I was staggered, sorry, terrible pun. It appears there was a plot to supplant his highness, replace him with a fawn as popish a thing as ever ran wild through the forest of Arden and ruled through treasonous black magic. The prime suspect in the press investigation is a feminist, Donna Blitzen from Pidley, Cambridgeshire. Here I am outside her hovel by the river, but Miss Blitzen was not at home. She has been a thorn in the authority's side for many years, unceasing in her demands to ban page three girls, and a tireless campaigner on behalf of PNIP, the East Anglian Separatist Party. We out these Easterns to be stinking lollards here, photographs holding secret meetings with a gang of marsh-wiggles from Norwich. Something is rotten in the state of Mercia. Isn't it interesting that these do-gooders who rush to the defence of immigrants always claim that they are fundamentally equal to us, as if the fact that they are different automatically makes them nasty? How naive! Am I alone in thinking that it cannot be mere coincidence when, on the one hand, a black tide oozes up the Severn, and on the other, the Crown Prince is kidnapped by mammals of Oriental origin? She then goes on about the buggery and violence we see all around us, paedophiles and sequoias free to roam, serious breach of homeland security, political will of our leaders, etc. I have many friends who are Muntjac and know them to be a rude and warlike race, yet they are not our kith. To the blissed out pinkoid liberals whose whinging stifles these pages, I say, yes, we all should be less tolerant of cabalers who sell our once proud nation downriver for a fistful of cheese. To anyone who comes a knocking come election time, I advise you have an answer prepared to these questions. How many Muntjac are at large in the West Midlands? And how many have AIDS and TB? The fen, who is a she, blows, and the road is never straight, except by ditches and buckles like a snake. The marsh shrugs. Folk are weird out here where the land thins, the road signs rain, near waves, splash lane, fen end, villages camping on their rich black land, people in this. Nowadays, of course, they're pushing up luxury riverside homes, a high-speed railway, a science park, an airport. But some fields you can't build on, they flood in spring. And someday water covers it all again. There's one place down the road where you can hear the river rushing along under the high street, another where it has a thirst and invades the beer gardens, a drain where cars sink without a trace. Global warming, sea levels, these are issues, solar panels on churches and media. A damp seat of rebellion, Boadicea, various beefy barons, then Cromwell, and the draining of the Thames. We watch the gypsies pulled out of tongues. Hope, maybe at Hoof, for the young prince, writes Poppy Pepper, our psychologist. Cases of children cohabiting with animals are rare but not uncommon. In the past, people were brought up by wolves, gazelles, goats, snails, eagles, chameleons. Blushing, withdrawing into herself, being indicators not of a person's shyness, but of their beastly upbringing or nature. Doctors can sever the brain of Prince Ray between the right and left cortex, putting the Muntjac to sleep, free his smooth body with no more pain than a cochlear implant. Language imprints at age 2 to 6 months. Therefore, provided the prince undergoes an intensive speech therapy course, will he soon resume his duties in the state and utter kingly words, beef, mine, war, no? Farmers call an end to the ban on deer hunting. The Home Secretary vows to catch the witch. A fleet of dowlers has reached as far as a redditch. Your face is slashed white and your eyes mauve, like you've been painted shite by the foes. Know this, my love, it causes Philip. The man in black shirt has a black heart. The traitors who call us racist when we express legitimate opinions about numbers of the silent snatchers hereabouts are trots and bigots, taking away the right to free speech. I'm no racist, I hate Germans. No, it's these people who are driving us into voting BNP. We've no other policies. Now with 80 pages of sport and motors, my loyal subjects, hosts of Nuneaton, and our most welcome guests, the Harrogin and you gentlemen of the press, salam. Ground-based features will play to one only in hell's circles, and it is with joy that we announce the new Entente twixt the Arabo-Africans and us. The purpose of this summit is joining again the common foe. Not to mention that, as an ageing kingdom, we need a cheap domestic workforce for hoisting, spooning and dressing, wiping and washing refugees from Norfolk. By 2025, 2040, the world melted, the polar ice caps flooding that marshy county. Their doge, Hereward, in the Isle of Ely, seeing which way the tide is rising, a slimy army hatch sharks up. Puddled ones go to beds. Smeagols and deagles are, even as we speak, paddling westwards via nasty, damp sluices, culverts, and dikes in order to make a preemptive strike on our pastures on the white hills of your missive intelligence informed us this morning. Imagine webbed fingers around your neck, cold lips sucking at your eyes, comrades, Anglian terrorists weaving their spells, morphing you into a heron or eel, and fear not glorious death in this bloodbath. To the A-14, we dine on the fish tonight. Thus, we sent our champions into battle land, our blood up and our mouths steaming, we fuck off the cold. Meat batches, curry puns, we gird our loins. Our eyes, 10,000 slippery alert footballs flick convincingly from centre to wing, many mouths ant-brained monster, making the rooftops echo, and the stands of our opponents tremble with the rip in the air of our roaring somethings going to get smashed. Sun, you're going